Hello, everyone. Welcome to our monthly integrity board meeting. I'm Angie Eikenberry, and I want to ask you all to say a few words about your awesomes in a moment. But I wanted to, before we get started, just acknowledge, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you, Linda, in Canada. But also today is Indigenous Peoples Day in the U.S. And I wanted to just acknowledge or ask everybody to acknowledge the Indigenous peoples of all the lands that we're on today. And while we're meeting virtually, we want to, I think, take a moment to acknowledge the importance of the land, which we each call home, and do this to affirm our commitment and responsibility in improving relationships between nations and to improving our own understanding of local Indigenous peoples and their cultures. So if we could just take a moment to reflect on that and consider how each of us can move toward a spirit of reconciliation and collaboration. Thank you very much for that. So as we normally do in our meetings, we start by just doing a introduction and also tell us a little bit about what's been awesome in your life the last month or so since we've seen each other. But I wanted maybe, because Linda, we're meeting you for the first time, maybe Hildy has a few words she wants to say, first of all, and then we can, and absolutely. Hildy, if you want to share your awesome too, that'd be great.
Sure. Happy to. I'm Hildy Gottlieb with Creating the Future. And first, I will introduce Linda, and then I'll share my awesome. I am so happy that you are here, Linda. Linda and her partner, Aaron, have been leading the charge at the Ontario Nonprofits Network in reimagining governance. And so you can imagine with all the conversations we have at this board that Linda and I have been having, and Aaron have been having awesome conversations. So I'm just very, very, very glad that you are here today joining us. I think we have a couple other people who may be joining us via Twitter, so we will keep an eye out for that. We also had many people who wanted to join and were in Canada, and today is Thanksgiving in Canada. So happy Thanksgiving to you, Linda, and we're grateful that you're here. I am located in Tucson, Arizona, where the weather is finally starting to cool down. And when I say cool down, we're still in the 90s during the day. So yeah, but our mornings, this morning was 59 when we got up. You needed a sweater, and it's nice for walking at night. So we're getting there, but that's life in the desert. And when you all have snow, we will be, 70s and hanging out in bathing suits. So that's the balance. I have two awesomes. My Creating the Future awesome is that I have been starting to have conversations, sleuthing conversations with folks around the next phase of what Creating the Future is stepping into. And those conversations are always energizing. And so I am having, I think this week I'm having 7. I'm scheduling, which for an introvert is a lot, I'm scheduling 10 and 12 meetings a week to just have these exploratory conversations about where we're headed. So I'm grateful to all of you who've been part of those conversations so far. Linda, I think we are scheduled for one, so I'm excited about that. And that's Creating the Future. And then my personal awesome is that my daughter has been here the end of the week. It'll be a month. And she's going to head home to LA after that, so that she can both vote and get an allergy shot. So the month was about the extent of that, but it's been just really, really delightful. She's living alone and working from home and lonesome. So, it was just nice to have warm bodies around and somebody to talk to other than the walls and the Zoom. And so if you can work from home, you can work from anywhere. So she's been set up at the dining room table here, and it's just been really, really, really nice having her here. We haven't lived together. I mean, she's 35, so we haven't lived together for 15, 16 years. And it's just been really nice.
That's great. I wondered, Linda, if you would be comfortable going next to introduce yourself and say what's been awesome in your life.
Well, I guess awesome to be a part of this conversation that we tried getting a group of people together to just talk about governance about 6 years ago, and it kind of went so there were just a few of us governance geeks, but now it's unbelievable how it's resonating, and people are saying as we come out of COVID there is such an opportunity to do it differently. And so it's exciting to be poised to help organizations do that. So that's pretty awesome. Awesome that I'm on this call too, because it means I get out of having to carry the kayaks and the paddle boards and the canoe into the shed. So I'm really grateful to you all.
Anytime, we can help with that. That's awesome. Wow. Okay, should I just keep calling on people, or does anybody have a burning desire to go next? I'm going to ask Vu to go next then, please.
Hey, everyone. It's Monday, and, you know, I stay up until like 2 a.m. freaking out about my blog post. So I have this pandemic and blog brain right now. But however, one awesome is Seattle has opened up all the playgrounds again after 6 months of being closed. And it's just such a relief for parents of small children. So we went and visited 3 parks this weekend. They were just running around the slides, and hopefully they won't catch anything from those slides. We got tested last week and came out fine. So I don't know. I think there's just such a jumble of emotions and things, the elections. I am fearful, but I'm also very hopeful. I feel like, I don't know, I'm allowing myself to be more hopeful that we can actually turn this around and save democracy. And it's giving me a jolt of energy. And I'm hoping that it's not misplaced optimism.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, Dimitri, you want to go next? One of you needs to unmute.
We trade the mic.
Yeah.
We trade the mic back and forth because we're like sitting right next to each other. Here I am. Hello.
Oh.
So, my sort of personal awesome revolves around Lizzie, in that she's been my helper. And I should say sometimes the lead in painting the fascia on the house. So she's been up on a ladder, sanding, grinding, masking, priming, painting along with me, and we have finished the entire house. So it was, in addition to, it's fun having her here. She's a very neat personality, very cool person. It's also kind of fun to have a helper during this time, you know, got herself tested before she got here. We got ourselves tested before she arrived. So it is like having a family and an extra worker. So that's been pretty awesome. So I'm excited about that. And I just wanted to share with Vu cautious optimism on my part as well. We shall see, but it obviously it's hard to have it not over hang on everything, you know, in terms of life and where we're going next. But I feel the same way. So
thanks. Carl, you want to go next?
Hi, everyone. I'm Carl, and I'm based out in the UK in a city called St. Albans, which is about 20 miles north of London. The weather here is very different to the desert. Just looking at my calculator, it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit here, so we're 40 degrees lower than you. The weather has really changed in the last few days. It's got really cold in the last few days, and so the heating is on now. It's a tough time. We're all struggling in the sense that what COVID has done to us is that many of us operating nonprofits that because of our social distancing rules, it means that we can't trade, that a lot of fundraising essentially has stopped. So we're all going through a bit of a tough time. And just to sort of today that our Prime Minister has just announced some new rules and literally half of the country is in lockdown now. And I think we will probably end up in lockdown in a matter of weeks, I suspect. So at the risk of sort of not having an awesome that's sort of about work, it's in some respects the awesome is about hanging on. And hanging in there at the minute because time's very tough. My personal awesome, which is sort of linked to that, is I have two sons and my oldest son disappeared off to university a couple of weeks ago, which has sort of been a bit of a life-changing event for us. It's odd putting three plates out instead of four. is the main thing, but linking it to the sort of the other sort of the first part, of course, which I guess not many people were that surprised by, is that some of the cities in the UK where the virus is increasing rapidly are the university cities and towns, because all the students have gone back and they're partying and they're one of the sort of the vectors, but touch wood, they'll be all right. And it's good to see you all.
Good to see you too. Justin, you want to go next?
Sure. Justin Pollock. So I am in Washington, D.C. And luckily not too close to the White House. not in any of those vectors, most likely. And I think, Carl, I think that Vu and I have similar temperature wise to you in the 50s and kind of damp. I hear it's damp today, Vu, in Seattle. So it's raining here too as we get remnants of the last hurricane that came up. My awesome is, it's one of those really simple ones, which was just the other day, my youngest daughter texted me out of the blue, "Can we go camping?" And I was like, "When?" She's like, "I don't care. I just want to go." And so for me, that was just one of those moments where it's like, okay, there's something there of my kids wanting to engage, just, I think, as Angie was saying, with the natural environment and what it is, and recognizing that it's different than what we live in every day. So that was my little awesome. So I'm holding on to that one. It's kind of like the playgrounds.
It is, and it is neat when they're 35 and they still want to be with you.
Yes, and that, all our family's getting along still, though we've been living together in the same place for 6 months. I bet Maggie is my awesome. So first of all, I'll say hello, I'm Angie Eikenberry from Omaha. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. And actually the weather is kind of cool today here too. Not as cool as what you all are experiencing in England, DC or Seattle. But still kind of cooling. We're getting to the fall. Hopefully fall will last more than a week. Sometimes it just automatically goes, to winter. But I hope part of my awesome is that we are going up camping, Justin, next week. Well, we're going to stay in a cabin, so it's not real camping. It's like clamping, whatever they call that, when you're not really doing the hardcore stuff. We're not putting up a tent, but we're going camping up northern Nebraska in Niobrara, right on the Missouri River this weekend. So we're going to get away. It's fall break time, and the leaves are changing, so it's really nice to be able to get away. So I'm looking forward to that as my personal awesome. And my, organizational or professional awesome is I just got inducted into the National Academy of Public Administration, which is the, equivalent of any field has their sort of, in social science has their kind of academy, national academy, whatever, where we, the group kind of advises in this case around issues around public administration. And especially, maybe in the near future, we will have a executive administration of this country that will care about what experts have to say about things, and maybe have some influence there. So that's a pretty big, exciting thing that happened this last couple weeks for me. Okay, anybody else have anything else they want to add for their awesomes? We can transition to our agenda for today. We have, I think, impossibly two things we want to try to address. Well, we can at least try to make some headway on. And one is around kind of revisiting or building on the discussion we had at our last meeting around our sort of goals around racial justice and equity, and in particular, looking at our values in action and how we might want to adjust those in various ways, building on that discussion. And then we also need to spend a little time today before we leave each other to talk about the next steps with our integrity board and how we want to proceed to operate, I guess is one way to say it. So I was thinking for, I think all of you, I don't know if Linda got a copy of this, the notes from last meeting. Did you forward it to her? Okay,
that's great. I just had a chance to glance at them.
Yeah, probably that everybody's in that boat because I only put them together like, you know, midnight last night, fortunately. I'm kind of, in the same boat as you. I was like up too late and up too early, but and I thought maybe I could try to, I don't know, summarize a little bit about where we stopped last time, just to, and then I think the next step is sort of discussing particularly what do we want to do about our current values and adjusting them based on that discussion or where we ended up. Does that sound okay, or does anybody have any other suggestions on that? So
Angie, I just want to mention before we get going that if people are watching, I want to encourage folks to tweet to hashtag creating the future. We're monitoring the Twitter stream on that, and comments, questions, whatever to be incorporated. So I just want to remind people that of the hashtag if they're watching and if they would like to participate in the meeting. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for doing that, because I had it on the top of my list to say that and I forgot. And Carl, that would be great if you are willing to jot down any notes. Thank you very much. I think basically where we evolved to at our last meeting was talking about what kind of world we want to see, and talked and came to some discussion around, I don't know if I would say a consensus or agreement, but we certainly articulated some ideas around the world that we wanted to see, sort of following our catalytic thinking framework. And we talked about creating a just world where the healthy people and planet, healthy coexistence with the environment, respect for all humanity, but also acknowledging that certain people have not been treated fairly for a long time in various ways, and so a need to raise up or those voices or acknowledge those inequalities and address them. That we wanted to create a thriving co-created communities where people are able to exist safely and freely. And then we talked through some of the conditions to bring about the world we want to see. And we talked about a range of things from centering BIPOC voices, of course, ending white supremacy, white power and privilege, patriarchy, capitalism, defunding the police and mass incarceration. We talked about a lot and what it makes possible if we were to do those things, such as creating collaborative communities or community care focus, creating, putting, investing positive, making positive investments in the community about what we want, rather than preventing or punishing. And then we evolved then into talking about what the values that emerge from those discussions. And these included centering people of color, community in engagement and articulating our own needs, valuing all voices, but we need some kind of affirmative action that would raising the voices of Black, Indigenous, and people of color, equity over equality, systems thinking or systems over individuals, mutuality, community leadership and self-determination, interdependence, thriving, health, people and planet, ceding power to and following Black, Indigenous, and people of color, transformative justice and mutual aid, and impact over intent. So those were the sort of summary summary of our discussion, which doesn't do it fully justice, but I think, so based on those values, I guess we're at a point where we want to think about or address, you know, what do we need to change or add in our value statement to reflect this sort of what we want to see and those conditions. I don't know if we're, are we at a place to start to, I guess, make some suggestions around what specifically we want to change, or do we need to talk through any other, I guess, conditions or actions? I'm not sure. What do you think about what we should do next? Justin, did you have something?
Well, I, yeah, thanks for pulling all that together, Angie. And I think I read that and then I went and looked at the values in action for creating the future. And some of this is also coming through some work that I'm doing with folks, both some of which is frustrating, some of which is really exciting, around how explicit we are about what we believe in our values. And how foundational that really is. And so I was even thinking, like, what popped into my head was, you know, we have these breakouts of all the values, sort of these areas within creating the future, was to really add a section that was, you know, values in action in our beliefs and assumptions. Like, really, because that was, it was the call out where we said, let's put the values-based beliefs, you know, and so I know that we had talked about some of those things, you know, that, you know, this idea of, you know, justice for all, and, you know, and clearly we believe in anti-racism, you know, were things that popped up. And I think also that equality, equity juggling, sort of really making a declaration around, you know, for us, sort of equity recognizes that benefit and advantage have been systematized to over-benefit a few, usually white, and under-benefit many. And that we declaratively believe that. Like, we feel strongly that that's the case. And we recognize that those have been built on race, gender, class, ethnicity. I was even thinking about sort of some of what we talked about, sort of this eco-political belief system. Like, people literally, like, if you believe in capitalism, you do really well. If you don't, you get chastised or something like that. And sort of also that declarative saying we need new systems that really support thriving where those conditions, you know, race, ethnicity, gender, don't determine you're either over or under benefit from the system. So, I mean, that was just a reflection, because I know part of what was pretty strong towards the end of the last call was we need to have the place where we are putting the banner forward to say, this is where we stand, this is what we stand upon. I don't want to say one side or the other, but just very clearly that piece. And what I will just share is that a lot of the work that I'm doing, and actually, Vu, you're blog was really timely about capacity building, because the capacity I feel we don't build in organizations is that design thinking assumption capacity. We don't call it out to say, what, how are you strengthening that? And so that's where I sort of feel like this could help us.
I've been thinking a lot about the writer in me is always, where do words go and how do we pull everything together? And I'm the thing that you're talking about, Justin, about needing another section. I think it is the first section, and really is our mission is we've always said that our mission is systems change sort of towards a more humane world. And I think that's the place at the beginning of our values that we say, okay, what do we mean by that? It's sort of the section that says, here's what we're about. And this is what our board is going to be looking to ensure. So I think there's also a piece in there unrelated to the equity conversation. We wrote and approved those values 3-4 years ago before we designed this as an integrity board. So I think there's a piece just as an overview in the values that states, this is what our board is using as its touchstone. This is what we're measuring things against. But I do think, Justin, I'm in absolute agreement, and that it's sort of, this is what we're about. And when we say systems change, here's the systems. And you know, and some why, and some, you know, what will that look like in action? And then someone mentioned last week and last time, and I wish I could remember who, but my brain's not there. Really getting as granular as we can. It doesn't need to be necessarily in the publicly facing values document, the first page, I guess. First page is the generic page, but I think that also drilling down into what does this look like when you get an email from us? What does this look like in our e-journal? What does this look like? And I think those are some of the things that probably the board's going to wind up hashing out over time. But I think that the suggestion from last time that stuck in my ear was that we get as granular as we can, and we note that. I mean, I remember Vu reading Rainier Valley's values in action early on when you first adopted them. And it was down to, here's how you'll be greeted at the reception desk. And so I think, you know, we don't have a reception desk, but here's, you know, if you send an email, here's what you will get in response, and et cetera. I think there's a big piece of that.
So it sounds like having kind of new section. I'm wondering too, if there are existing sections also that we want to be more explicit about some things around like decision-making or, you know, some of these other areas where we could also integrate some clarity around our position around racial justice and so on.
We speak a lot in generalities around inclusion, relationship, holding space, reflecting together. And I do think that that's a place where we could be much more explicit about raising up voices and you know, actively, and even plug in something around power and influence. Because that's the piece that I always feel like gets missed when we talk about relationship and inclusion. It's like, oh yes, everyone's voice will be heard. I'm like, yeah, that's not enough. Like, their voice actually has to move things. and so there's a power piece. And so again, that's another one of the words that I think to call out some, you know, through. And I think, Angie, to your point, that actually plays out in the rest of the values, is talking about how we think about power.
So I guess, building based on what you were talking about, I'm just wondering, like, I think it sounds like we're in agreement that we want to add to our values, add a section, integrate. So I'm now thinking, is that true? If anybody's opposed to that, I guess you should speak up now. But the, if we're okay with that, then our next step with this is to start to think about the role of this integrity board in bringing those things about further, right? Get to Kildee's point about getting granular. But before we shift there, I guess I want to see if there's anything else anybody wants to add about what the value statement should look like. And I don't think we want to spend time going through and wordsmithing anything right now, but one or two of us could take this away and address it and bring it back. What are your thoughts about the value statement, updating it?
I personally think that, because again, the writer in me is like, this would be fun to do with a group. Nobody wants to watch this happen. This is not a public meeting. This is not of interest to anybody. But of the people who actually like playing with this stuff, I think it would be fun.
So kind of a subgroup, maybe a couple.
Yeah, I mean, if there are people who like watching wordsmithing, okay, you can play. But and it might be fun to invite folks to participate. And we could do it live, be shocked if people show up.
Yeah, we could throw a party, a value statement party, and bring our BYOB.
Wordsmithing over alcohol sounds a lot better.
I don't know if it is of interest or any help, but we went through an exercise in the summer of trying to rethink our values that's not been a million miles away from what we've done. And we ended up with something very short and simple. Collaborative, open, ambitious, and not for us, but ambitious for social change and the people we support. And finally, inclusive. And for me, when you were talking just before about going granular and shifting from the words, I mean, to me, that's where all this matters is how do we then sort of put those values into action so that they're not just sort of a poster on the wall and so on. So I don't know if I'm sort of taking sort of catalytic thinking and doing it the wrong way around by saying that, but... Yeah, I mean, for me, it's about, okay, so what does it look like in practice if we are going to be a more inclusive organization? What follows from it?
I think our value statements to some degree do that already, but when you started talking, Carl, I also was thinking about the value statements we have now are pretty detailed, right, and guidance, but I'm wondering if like they almost get to the point of so many that we don't, like we just are like, okay, it's too overwhelming. Like, so it might be worth having like a punchy, like, you know, short list of keywords that we're always thinking about. Like, you know, I'm thinking some of the words you were talking about, Carl, are just like anti-racist or whatever kind of, you know, that would be helpful in moving us along toward action.
Yeah, and again, I think I may have mentioned this last week, and it's a new concept that was introduced to me, but this thing called even over statements that I hadn't come across before in strategy. So for example, being an inclusive organization even over being a sustainable organization, and those sorts of statements, when you list them like that and you force people to make very clear choices, they're a very good way of getting you to live your values in practice in short shrift.
Okay. something I've seen work effectively in organization, I think people were talking about this at the very beginning, is the notion of separating what people's experience would be in your organization, being exposed to your organization, and then the different one around what is our vision, you know, of a changed world that becomes important. It might be an interesting way to sort of separate, because you may have different language, and the word inclusion can mean something very different for how they experience you versus what you change you want to bring about in the world.
I'm sort of seeing layers. I'm seeing it has to be, because otherwise, you know, as you noted, Carl, if we're not stating what our values are in action, then they're meaningless. You know, when I used to, long ago when I was consulting and I used to teach governance in the days when Enron was the big scandal, now we've got 9 million other scandals. But I always used to note that the value statement on the wall in the lobby at Enron was integrity and honesty and respect. So, you know, let's get real. So what do they look like in action, I think really matters. But I do think, Angie, that to your point, that, it, you know, and when we adopted them, we said it's way too much. We needed to hone it down. And then life intervened and we didn't get to it. But I do think sort of doing it in layers, so that maybe page one is is sort of the summary. Here's what we're about. And then, you know, linking off of that could be just a way to do it. But again, I think we're sort of getting into the granular of the wordsmithing that might be something that we could do in a group.
So I just want to share, I'm actually having a real response to the idea of not being granular. And I don't know if this is right, but it actually feels like a mechanism for separating ourselves from the reality of it. And what I mean by that is we have no problem developing a policy on hiring that gets into the kinds of questions you can ask on a, but here we are saying we can't be so explicit. And I think, you know, Rainier Valley Core, I use that all the time as an example. I say, look at what it looks like when people really put to paper what they think, and they go down to the detail that we go into other things. Our budgets look at this much detail. Why doesn't our thinking look at this much detail? And I actually think it's a cover. It allows us to not have to deal with it. It allows us to allow for different interpretations of what inclusion means. It allows us to say words like opportunity zone. I'm like, bullshit, I don't want an opportunity zone. I want a success zone. Like, and so, or I don't want things that are accessible. I want people accessing stuff that's there. So I actually want to encourage us not to shy away from being very transparent about the detail of the thinking, because it's going to force us to put things out there and to make sure that they have validity based on the voices and opinions and the influence that we want. I think we have to demonstrate us ruffling feathers and shifting systems too. You know, I've always said, you know, you should budget values. You should budget leadership. You should, like, we can create this document that says where our money's going to go. And we sit there and hold ourselves accountable to it. And we measure success. And like, we don't do that about decision-making. We don't do that. Why not? And it's because then we have to get into what's actually going on in people's heads. And that's really messy. But so that's kind of the response I'm having. And again, I don't know that we necessarily need this space to do it, but having that opportunity to really look at it and force ourselves to look at language and declarative things that really call us out to say, hey, like, this is more important than all that other gobbledygook we put policies around everywhere else in our organizations. That, and going back just full circle to what you spent last night doing, like this whole thing about capacity building, like let's treat this the same way we treat, you know, the steps you go through to develop funds or what. So I'll stop there. It was a big welling.
What I'm picturing, Justin, and I've been, this has been some of the conversations that I've had in the past couple of weeks, is that We are taking our 990. We did this a long time ago. It was very successful. We haven't had a chance to do it again. And now we're doing it as a way of being. We're taking our 990 and annotating the entire thing. Line one, what is this number and what does it mean? Line two, what does it mean? We're doing the same thing with our bylaws. We've got a team of folks that are doing this with our bylaws, going through, where did this come from? Why is this here? Such a big part of catalytic thinking is making the invisible visible, is being explicit. I'm totally in agreement with you. It's why I love the more granular we can get. So if you've got a cover page of this is what we're about, and here's what each of these looks like in action. I'm right there with you, Justin. I think it's really, really important.
So in our values statement, we want to communicate the kind of world we want to see. I heard Linda talking about that earlier. And then having a sort of new section where we talk specifically about some of these values around our assumptions and or beliefs to bring about racial justice, racial equity, and other areas, connected areas that we talk about. So can we maybe, as a next step, take one or two of those and start to think about, in particular, an area of what we would want to do or see happen in creating the future, maybe the board, we could use the board, what we want to see happen in the board. So for example, one of the key areas that came up a lot that we talked about is centering the voices of people of color, ceding power to and following Black, Indigenous, and people of color. So if we took those as our core values that we were talking about, what would that look like then, or what conditions would we need to put into place in our own, on the board, I guess we could say, we could use the board or some other area of the organization. Would that be something to explore next? Vu, do you have any thoughts about this?
All right, now.
Okay.
I'm almost wondering, I'm just going to babble a little bit. The work, you know, I mentioned that one of the things that was awesome for me is talking about what's next for creating the future. What's next for creating the future is going to add all sorts of positions, for lack of a better word, people. Is going to add lots more people to the work that Creating the Future is doing. To date, it has been a small core of us who are volunteers working on stipend wages. And that's going to change dramatically in the next year. And I'm almost wondering if these are the kinds of issues. Adding people, how do we determine salaries? How do we determine who? What is the process by which we are recruiting people to both the board and the staff and the consulting or whatever? But I'm seeing those conversations as the practical day-to-day conversations of the board, of the organization, that if we ask, okay, so if we are adding staff, what does the board want to look at as an integrity board, and making sure that all of the values that we have been talking about are included in how the board is doing its integrity work. So I'm almost wondering if there's the practical day-to-day and saying, if these are our values, then this is what the board is going to be asking every time we come up against this. So I'm just wondering if that might be a way to frame it rather than infusing that conversation into absolutely everything.
It's sort of like annotating that process. We're making this decision because, we're taking this action because, And so in real time, as you know what you're talking about, Hill, you know, it's the same thing we were doing with our 990. So it does, when people come to the website and learn who we are and what we're doing, the people who attend this upcoming session or this meeting now can understand more about catalytic thinking, who we are and why we're doing it. So I think it's a really powerful way of conveying it to folks that is understandable on many different levels.
It makes it practical. There's some of what's been interesting to read in the popular press. So the New York Times doing opinion pieces and analysis and the Atlantic and those kinds, looking at whether or not DEI training is effective, especially in large corporations, where they're trying to do the right thing. And so they bring in a trainer and they facilitate workshops around diversity and inclusion and equity. And the thing that nags at me every time I see that, and the analysis is that it doesn't change much. In a lot of those organizations, it doesn't change much. And to me, it's what happens on the ground. That's that. If we're not talking about where the rubber hits the road, and that these are questions we're going to ask, whether we're adding new board members, or whether we're hiring a bookkeeper, or whether we're determining salaries, or whether whatever we're doing, it seems to me that these are the questions we infuse into all of that. And so every time I read those analyses, I'm like, yeah, because you're talking about it up here. And where it really matters is down here where you're typing the memo.
So is the what is the question that we're talking about right now? Is it how do we implement this area that we've been talking about that involves centering people of color, valuing all voices, but especially raising the voices of people that have been kind of marginalized, as well as some of the mutuality, I can't say that word, interdependence. I'm just wondering, like, if we want to, can we take off one of those maybe areas and say specifically what actions do we want to take as a creating the future? And those could be around a lot of different areas, as you said, Hildy, or we can focus in on a particular area as a way to make some headway in outlining, getting to the action phase. Yeah, Carl.
It was just interesting listening to Hildy then sort of talk about the DEI training. And in it, a bit like so many of the responses from corporates to Black Lives Matter have been very performative. They've not been about sort of addressing sort of the underlying sort of issues or facing it, or they've not allowed staff to engage in some quite uncomfortable conversation. So I'm sort of a little bit involved with a bunch of people who are trying to put a foundation together at the moment to support Black organisations. And we've been thinking about fundraising and the corporates that we should approach. And we want to be a very values-driven organization. And we don't just want to approach anyone who's got money to help them undertake a performative act in supporting us. Because even though in the short term that might mean that the foundation that we're trying to build will get some money, we're going to undermine the cause in the long term by enabling that corporate to just carry on just as they've carried on forever. So again, I think, yeah, it keeps coming back to this thing that, you know, I think the values in some respects are relatively easy to put down. It's about how do you make sure that we hold ourselves to account all the way through in terms of how we operate and how we fit with them. Because I think the nature of the sort of thing that we're involved in is that on this stuff, I mean, no one else is going to hold us to account. It's about what we do ourselves. It's integrity, isn't it? I mean, the name's in the... Sorry, whatever, it's on the tin.
The there's also a piece of me, because we have always seen ourselves and the work of our board as a live ongoing demonstration, pilot, project, experiment. We do know that there are people who listen to our meetings as instruction of stuff that they can do with their own boards. And this has been going on since we've been recording, which is awesome, which is absolutely awesome. There's a piece in me that gets excited about modeling what it looks like to have board conversations around the practical stuff that boards deal with all the time. The practical questions boards are constantly talking about through an equity lens, through a social justice lens, having a conversation about hiring a bookkeeper through a social justice lens. There's something that I find exciting just in terms of modeling what is possible, not just for us, but for other organizations as well as, so what could it look like? What could it look like behind the whether it is well-intentioned or not, the result is performative, Carl, it winds up just being, well, we did the training and we're not sure what else to do, .. And, you know, so I think that there's something there about having, you could do this. Oh, okay.
So you come back though, don't you? You were talking about the 990 before. So I don't know that. Well, that only reports on the financial decisions. It doesn't actually report on the important decisions that we will make throughout the year. I mean, I don't even know if it will be possible that you could look at, okay, well, what were the 10 or the 5 biggest decisions that we made in this last year, and how do they stack up through our values lens? So that you have sort of a companion sort of piece to the 990, which is this is how we performed against our financial sort of goals, and then this is how we performed against our values.
A values 990. There you go, Justin.
Yeah. So one thing that and this kind of goes back, Angie, to your question, you know, again, what are we doing? And thinking about the board side. And I do think, like, even with your example, Hilde, you know, the problem is that these trainings aren't getting at the belief systems and the underlying systems. So it doesn't matter what you say you're gonna do, the culture always comes back, you know, until you change the culture, and the culture is following systems. So you're sort of caught in this sort of catch 22, do you change the beliefs first or the systems first? And I think you can do both, which is, and I think actually going back to what you were saying, Hilde, about the questions and even this notion of bylaws, let's change the system. Let's codify in this legal document called the bylaws, these questions. The board will ask, you know, have we asked about, you know, equity? Have we asked about environmental impact of this decision? And in that way, we can prescribe those values. You know, can we consider this decision one that is anti-racist? Can we, I mean, we can name those things. Is it anti-colonialist? Is it that we don't, you know, and obviously we need some backup documentation of what we mean by that, but if we codify it in a foundational document, we're changing the system. We're not dependent on sort of what people are thinking. We're codifying it and saying, okay, board, if we're in, that's our integrity. Our integrity is we ask and grapple with this question. We don't necessarily know what the answer is going to be. And I think to Carl's point, there might even be some framing around decision, how we frame decisions, that we recognize the tension and turmoil that is involved in trying to do what we are trying to do. Because I also think we need to acknowledge that Carl, you very graciously shared the challenges of navigating through some of this stuff. And, you know, again, when we start pushing against other things like, you know, economic justice and ecological justice and those things, we have even the potential for stronger pushback and harder decisions because we live in a system that's not working. And so, and some of us benefit from that, and to think about changing it in a way that de-benefits, I don't even know how to talk about it. But again, I talked about it in the last meeting of this acknowledgement that equity involves a rebalancing. And so there is a part of me that sort of thinks about from the board standpoint, not necessarily for sort of other places within the organization where we're putting policies or prescriptives in place at the board level. If we do look about, and again, we've been talking about re-envisioning that whole notion of what bylaws are, that we claim it as this document that's declarative about thinking and beliefs.
So I'm hearing that we need to clarify a bit further, like through wordsmithing, we're going to do next, not now, but later, soon after, clarifying our values around racial equity and justice, drawing on all of these things we've been talking about. And then it sounds like a next step is to identify an area or two to apply these ideas, and how, you know, are we aligned with those values? And there are various things that have been said about what we might do. I would like to advocate for us to start with the board ourselves and talking about who's on the board and how we can possibly be an integrity board without reflecting more.
More integrity?
Presentation, yes. But Carl, you have something else to say.
I'm as you probably worked out these by now, I'm actually quite a practical person, and I really like what Justin was saying about how this is something that you write into your document about you're thinking about. This is what we believe in. And you know, I'm not being very original here, but the idea that a governing document isn't just your rules of operation, but it's your beliefs and your thinking when you were set up, I sort of really like that. And then I also like what Hildy said before, that like people look to this, to what we say here, to help them think very practically about how to do it. And it, I guess my simple point that I'm laboring over here is that it sounds nice and easy, sort of like putting into your governing documents about what you believe in and so on, but I wonder quite practically, how do you actually do that? And that could be one of the things I'd like to do in the future. It just so happens that we're talking about racial justice today, but we've talked about climate justice and so on. So for organizations that are set up just to address children or animals or whatever, and they have that very specific purpose in their governing documents, it might be interesting at some point for us to think about how do you put these broader social justice aspirations into your governing document? Or else we all end up just in the same place, don't we? Of like, we just pursue whatever our narrow purpose is, and then we sort of think sod the rest, because being charitable about that one narrow purpose is enough. And that's one of the things that got the sector into the challenges that it faces.
Carl, I had one of the most remarkable experiences. It was last fall when we did our Creating the Future tour through California. And I wound up facilitating it's a roundtable of, I think, 50 executive directors in the Los Angeles area. And I was fortunate to be able to get a list beforehand of all of the organizations that would be there. And there was one out of the 50 that was an environmental organization. So they were all tended to be human services, social services kinds of organizations. And so one of the exercises that I had them do was to break out into groups of four or five, and that they needed to go around and figure out how all of them, human service organizations, how their mission related to climate change. And it was so fun to watch them get out of that tunnel that you're talking about, Carl, out of that we're, this is our mission, this is our organization, to excitedly realize that all of their missions were interrelated and that they all related to climate change. And so I think that I'm just very excited about what you're talking about, Carl, in terms of what does it also look like when we're infusing climate justice and some of those other huge issues that we talked about into those conversations about what does that mean for compensation? You know, we need a compensation. If we're gonna be hiring a whole bunch of people, we need a compensation strategy. And we need to talk about at some point, what does an integrity board look like in the issue of compensation? I'm just using it as an example. How does that build into climate justice? And I don't know what the answer is, but I think that it would be really, really instructive to have those conversations.
Okay, so one way to do this is to, we've articulated various values around racial, climate, or other justice equity areas, right? Pick one, or pick the aspects of one, and start to think about these different areas and how they are reflected, our values are reflected in them or not, like compensation board or so on. Or the other way to do this is to have our values articulated as a whole, then think about each of these areas in relation to these comprehensive values, right? So we spend a lot of time talking about the board and how it reflects these different aspects of racial, climate, and so on, justice. I guess this kind of segues into our next agenda item, which is sort of trying to map out how we proceed for the next several months or so. I feel like we're trying to skirt some of the hard things that are going to possibly need to be talked about, like around, for example, representation on the board. But maybe if we map them, if we map out how to proceed, this we can then prepare adequately for having discussions around some of these areas. Maybe I'm getting a sense that we're kind of just going in circles, and I'm trying to figure out how do we break out of that. But maybe that's just me. So does anybody have any strong feelings about obviously, we need to spend a little time updating the values and making sure it reflects what all the things we've been talking about in the notes. And we're not going to be able to do that right now. But so we could wait to have further discussion about how we're applying those values. And right now, just talk about a process for going forward. Yeah, Carl?
Well, I mean, I think this is a challenging conversation. And I think when I sort of think back to sort of my initial worries about when we started having the conversation, I guess what I'd sort of say is that I think we need to incorporate this stuff into our values and our purpose without it becoming our purpose. So I think maybe this is a bit clumsy, but I think what I'm trying to say is that I think the reason that we're struggling a bit is because it's not the purpose, or I don't think it's the purpose of this organization just to be a racial justice organization. It's a capacity building organization that should have racial justice as part of its values. And I wonder if we're struggling because we're trying to completely 180 degrees sort of change the organization into something that it's not, led by people who aren't sort of at the heart of this conversation, when actually what we should be just doing is think about, okay, this is important. We integrate it in in terms of what we do by rewriting our values. Angie's absolutely right that the representation thing sticks out like a sore thumb in terms of talking. But once we've got this, we need to think about all those other things that we're meant to be sort of modeling. And we get back to, okay, well, what's the next number of months looking like in terms of building the new Creating the Future, which is about thinking about what is our model? We still haven't quite got to the bottom of that. Sorry, I don't know if that helps or not. But.
Running out of paper.
Angie, honestly, I think we're struggling, and I don't think it's your fault as the chair. I think it's because this is a challenging conversation for us to have. And
Well, I'm thinking about, I mean, if we follow the catalytic framework, right? If we can get to a place where we've sort of established more clearly our values that we all, you know, we've all got them right in front of us, right? In a way that's a little bit easier to follow. And if we then talk about what actions we need to take, right, to bring about those values, the values, of course, being focused on the sort of world we want to see. I think if we have a sort of map, I don't think it will be so hard. I just feel like we need a clear mapping that out. I think your point is well taken, Carl, about how we see this racial justice lens in relation to the other aspects, but the other aspects, I mean, the other aspects are part of what keeps, you know, white supremacy and, you know, keeps white power in place too. So I don't think we can separate those out. Like for me, I keep coming back to this thing that Booz brought up several times around centering people of color and what work has already been done. I think it was Deborah said last time, like there are people doing some of this work already or have been for a long time. It's just that as, you know, basically she didn't say this directly, but I think she implied it was like, as white people, you just weren't aware of it, you know? So, you know, so how do we, I think that that's part of what we need to sort of bring that into the discussion and think about how are we not just coming in like, you know, and saying, here's the way we think it should be done, right? But that there's, how do we use the processes that we have been talking about for a long time and have in place to, right, support? I don't know, maybe I'm going too far in my analysis assessment here.
I thought that was a fair assessment based on the conversation that we had last time. And I think that was the criticism at the end of the conversation, that you're a bunch of people that have just discovered something and you're in danger of going, of becoming white saviors. I think that was a very fair criticism. So it strikes me the conversation is about how can we be better allies?
Yeah, right.
There's a bit of thinking to do what that looks like, but I think the starting point of how we can be better allies is recognition that this is something that requires us to change our values, and then, as we said today, get granular in terms of the actions that are shaped by those values. It's not just a very surface level, oh, we think Black Lives Matter or something similar.
What I'm sensing is that we are exploring two related, integrated, interdependent topics and uncertain about all of them, each of them. One is, what does it mean to be an integrity board? We decided at the beginning of the year that that's what we're going to be. We encoded it into our bylaws. We said at the beginning of our bylaws that our bylaws will reflect our values. And so we still have not put to the test, what does it mean to be in practice an integrity board. The other big issue is the issue of social justice, climate justice, racial justice on this planet. And what does that look like in practice? So in both cases, we're talking about things that we have not yet put into practice, and we're playing at the theoretical level. Mm-hmm. And what sort of makes sense to me, and I keep talking in layers, what makes sense to me is, if we've already said this board is about ensuring, pardon me, that we're walking the talk of our values, if we have embedded our values into the bylaws, if we rewrite our values so that it is crystal clear what we are about, what we are against, what we are for, and we've already said the board is in charge of ensuring that, the place where we're walking in circles is that both of those places are places that only matter in practice, and we've been talking about them at the theoretical level. And I really sense that we need just a practical example to play with. One of the things, I apologize, my allergies are crazy. I think it went from 2 parts per million to 50 parts per million over the weekend. Like, seriously, my little app says, no wonder you're coughing, is what my app says. but the place that we have always played at creating the future is we build the plane while we're flying it. We're trying shit. We are a place of experimenting. And so I'm really thinking that what will lead us into all of this, if we have these documents in front of us when we're mm-hmm. actually talking about it, is if we've got a practical example and we play with it. Yeah. There's something in me that's sensing that's what's going on with us, is that we're stepping into several territories that we have no practical experience. So let's get some practical experience. And I got a list if you want them.
Yeah, so I was going to say, let's get a list. We need a list. That's what I need.
Well, and I love the fact that we're talking, you know, the two things that have popped to me while we're talking, one is strategic in terms of moving forward with the work that we're doing on the ground in terms of expanding the ripples of our mission. The other is the very important one that you're talking about, Angie, and that we've all talked about, that Vu has talked about, that Carl has talked about, which is the color of this board. The fact that this is not a board that represents the world that first, it just exists. Forget the world we want to see. We don't even represent the world that we pretend to represent. So I'm almost sensing that might be a place to start. And interestingly, for those who were not here for it, or those who it's so long ago don't remember, well, I know Linda had to go for family stuff. The place where our board restructuring began years ago was when we started to talk about recruitment. And somebody said, I'm not entirely sure what we're recruiting people to. And we started the whole conversation that led to all of this, which is pretty fun. So I think we're going back.
It's not lost on me that.
Okay, let's go back there.
So as far as thinking about, next steps for this board, like, we really also need to think about the actual running of this board, right? Because Hilde, you are not gonna have time to keep things going as you have, and we shouldn't have expected you to do that for so long. So I guess there's two things then we want to think about, is what kinds of things do we want to practically discuss and figure out as next steps? And then also, how do we just procedurally run the board and do it in a way, I guess, that's going to align with our values as well. So the easy one is, if we were to have some practical things to talk about the next, you know, few meetings, are there any that any of you feel strongly about focusing on? It sounds like Hilde would really, you like us to talk about, you know, kind of the staffing as we're thinking about expanding, what that would, I guess, hiring would look like. And then, of course, there's this board makeup issue.
And I would also really like to talk about compensation.
Okay.
Determining compensation. As an integrity board, what is the role of the board in determining compensation? Who gets to, you know, the question that we've asked frequently, who gets to decide? And if decisions are being made closest to the thing that's being done, what then is the role of an integrity board when it comes to the thing that most people are the most concerned about, which is compensation? You know, one of the yeah buts that I've been hearing a lot is, yeah, but who's going to determine the compensation for the, you know, for anybody? Mm-hmm. Oh, if your board is just focusing on integrity, who's going to determine compensation? To me, the question flips to, okay, what will it take for the board to ensure that our values are being upheld in the conversation of compensation? So to me, that is a big one. And you mentioned hiring, Angie, and absolutely board recruitment. Those three pop for me right now. I don't know what others have.
Anything else? That sounds like this will keep us busy for a while. But is there anything else, Justin? Were you going to add something?
I think I just want to sort of be thoughtful again, even as we come into those practical components, is, you know, Hildy said that there are people already having conversations about salary and what that looks like. And so I think part of our job is not to usurp that conversation, but to insert the integrity elements to that. Because that's what I want to shy away from, us trying to figure out what the hiring practice is or what the salary should be. But I think what we do need to be able to establish is our expectations about the considerations that go into setting a salary. It's kind of like, what are the guardrails or even the, so we're not getting stuck into the minutiae of making a determination that salary should be this, but putting things like, okay, you know, at a bare minimum, whatever the, you know, living wages in a community, we have to pay at a minimum that, you know, that we will not approve anything below that. I feel like that's sort of how I want to make sure we come into this, not mm-hmm. really dickering around like, well, how much does an accountant get paid, or how much does a, like, that's, again, if we imbue the board with too much power, that's also part of this. And that's always what I'm really, I'm really careful, because like, there's part of me that's like, am I dancing around having to do work? But the problem is, when we put these onto the board, we imbue the board with power. That is part of the problem, is that the boards have all this power over decisions that basically oftentimes undo the decisions that are happening by staff and people who really get it. And then the board comes in and really fucks it up, usually, more often than not. So I'd really like us to be, just as we're thinking about that practical, continuing with this idea that what we're creating framing and questions that drive decision-making, the direction that we believe our values say it should go, as opposed to making the decision.
Go ahead.
So I think where I
we talked about three things that we could talk about, and I guess all of them, in some respects, they're going into an element of some quite depth for us. I'd like at some point in the next, whatever, even if it's 6 months, I wonder if it would be useful if we could actually just like stand back a bit and rather getting into the depth. I wonder if there's something where we can sort of stand back and think, okay, well, what do we think the next 2-3 years will look like? Because Hilde, at some point, presumably your conversations will be getting to a point where when you've got a bit of a clearer idea at some point. So I don't know if this is something for in the new year when you find out, I guess, sort of like what you think the state of American sort of democracy and politics are, because that might have an impact on sort of, how everyone is feeling. Because I think if we sort of stood back a bit and sort of had that sense of, okay, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to try and achieve in the next 12 months, it would be much easier to plan out the next whatever half a dozen board meetings would look like, and would give us a real sense of sort of purpose and direction. We almost need a work plan, in the sense that, like, when we've talked, for example, about racial justice, that's absolutely right, and that should be part of our work plan and incorporate it. But we should be able to at one point say, right, okay, we think we've done that. Now what's the next thing that we need to look at? Because if Angie is right, and I think she is right about, if we are serious about whether it's environmental or racial justice or whatever, all those different parts of the system, we need to sort of think about all those different parts of the system, don't we?
I think that sounds good.
We've talked about the environment at various times, including sort of like over the summer when the awful stuff was happening in sort of California. Well, we should be having the same level of conversation about, well, what is it about our behaviours and our ways of working that help or might undermine sort of the justice that we seek in relation to the environment?
Yeah, so we've got these sort of top two or three areas to focus on that would get us kind of going, but also I really like the idea of sort of, yeah, mapping out a longer timeline of what we want to plan to address. And that could also, I think, address the issue that you brought up, I think, in email, Carl, about that will enable each of us to be involved in different ways that we can kind of plan for and make it more sort of perhaps equitable distribution of work and emotional labor and all that, if we sort of can plan out things a little bit. So if
I'm almost wondering if, because I'm trying to think in order here, I'm almost wondering if the first conversation is about board recruitment, because that will determine who is doing the work of all of this, and we're all starting from the same place. So rather than diving into a couple of practical other examples, operational examples, I think really, Angie, your inclination initially was that the board work on itself, and I'm sort of thinking that that's probably a good place to start, so that we know who all is making, we need to get to know each other. We need to hang out together. We need to, get into a rhythm together. And there's something there that's the first step is because our first step is always who's in the room. Who are we talking to? It's always about the people, and the rest of it is operational. That will happen down the ways. But I think that before we do anything, we need to, physician, heal thyself. I think we need to really play with ourselves here, so to speak. Okay, so that came out wrong.
Well, that also addresses a little bit of what Justin, you were saying about, like, there's a sort of, I don't want to say danger, but it gets complicated to start going down the path of talking about, say, compensation when it's going to be possibly the board not directly involved. Though our organization is so it's fluid, like, right, that some of us are also involved in these different aspects at the same time, so may actually end up being part of that decision making. But if we focus on the board, this is us, like, it just sort of eliminates that a little bit, because we are the ones making the decisions about the board, because we are the board. So we probably still want to engage other people. We still want to engage.
I'm sorry.
We are going to be deciding about not only the values, but how they are going to be applying to this institution that we're calling the board. But it's not a normal is not the right word. It's not a typical board. So it's still not going to be a simple thing, but it eliminates eliminates to some degree the concern that Justin had earlier. Maybe not. Maybe never mind.
The head explode thing was that we said that that decisions will be made by the people closest to that decision, the people who will be affected by that decision. And so the conversation about recruitment being beyond just the board, because it is not just the immediate people. We never said decisions will be made by the staff. It'll be made by the people closest to the decision, the people affected by the decision. So I guess if we're going to be talking about recruitment, the question would be, who is affected by that, that conversation that we would want to make sure is engaged in a board recruitment conversation. So if we're going to start at the beginning of, okay, we're going to apply this to us, then the first question is going to be, who needs to be part of this conversation?
So that's going to be our first thing to discuss when we, or we could start to discuss now. Thank you, Justin.
I sort of said that tongue in cheek, but I also want to call ourselves out that we had this habit of saying, well, we're different. Yeah. We're doing something different. And yes, we are doing something that others haven't done, but that doesn't mean that, one, we're not doing it right, which has lots of values in it. But I want to give us permission and it to say, like, what we're doing is what we are doing. It is a way of governing. Mm-hmm. And it is the way of governing that we have determined to, you know, be the right direction. I don't want to say we got it right yet, but it's a way we've committed to understanding what a governing body is. So I want us to be careful that we don't get overly influenced by what is typical out there, because we are very intentionally not being that. And so embracing, I mean, to your point, Angie, there is a, yes, you know, the reality is that it's never simple, that people who serve on boards also volunteer, maybe even get paid by organizations. And that's agnostic. The fact of the matter is we just have to talk about where capacity lies. When we are this group in this space, we do this. When I'm having a conversation with Hildy about something else, we might be doing something else. And it's okay to have those boundaries and those differentiations. So I want to just, I sort of want to have integrity to actually going back to what you said, Angie, which is when the board is collected as a board acting as integrity, what does that mean we give attention to? And if there are other things that need attention, then we figure out the mechanisms of where that can fall. Might be overlap in the people doing it, but we are being discreet, or we're differentiating. So just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess, is everyone in agreement about having the conversation be about the integrity board and who needs to be involved as the next discussion that we have?
If the topic we're going to discuss is board recruitment, I just want to bring up our bylaws that we adopted, where we said all decisions at Creating the Future will be used, will be made using the catalytic thinking framework. The first question being, who will be affected by this decision? No matter what decision we make, who will be impacted? And then listening to those individuals, engaging those individuals, what would those individuals need in order to participate? And from there, looking at what we want to accomplish by recruitment and et cetera. But the most important thing, the thing that infuses compassion and empathy into catalytic thinking is these questions right here, is the engagement, the very deliberate, intentional participation and engagement of anybody that is going to be affected by any decision that we make. So we would be just following what we've said.
Yes, and so if we are all in agreement that board recruitment's our next kind of topic of focus, then we will follow the process that we have laid out in our bylaws to have that discussion. Is everybody okay with that as the next step? Okay. So then I guess I'm wondering if we want to spend a little time before we're done here, first of all, talking about, is there anyone we want to especially like ask to see if they could come to be part of that discussion? If that's too early to determine that, and then also mapping out the next few meetings amongst us, who will lead it, who will take notes, you know, just how are we going to make sure that we keep going? Those are the two questions I have for you all.
So I'm very happy to take notes, though I don't think I'm a very good note taker. I've done my best today, shall we say. I'm also almost sort of wonder sometimes when these conversations work best is that we sort of, I don't know what the language is. Do you have a protagonist and an antagonist? I don't know. But anyway, but if someone was to sort of start with a set of like, I think we should do this. And then I'd be sort of happy to sort of play a part in something like that, that kicks off a conversation by almost having a bit of a to and fro that sort of said, no, I think we should do it in this way instead. Something. And then the only other thing that I guess it's a question and maybe I'm being ignorant now, but I was trying to think through to help us prepare for next time of who is most impacted by who we recruit to the board. And have we got any sort of stakeholder map or anything like that where we define groups and we sort of think, okay, well, we want a person or people from each of those groups to sort of, if not sort of literally be on the Zoom meeting, but we want them actively listening next time so that we can be clear that we are actually talking to people who are impacted, right? Because you know, I mean, it's important that we live that one, isn't it?
And part of what we do the next time could be mapping that out further, as opposed to us trying to come up with a quick list today. But I guess we, at the very least, part of what we can make sure we do is that we communicate about the meeting to all of our channels of communication, and we all help to do that, and not just, you know, hoping Hildy has time to post it, you know, here and there. So I guess part of what the procedural things is, okay, we got somebody to take notes. Thank you, Carl. We need somebody to commit to facilitating. We need somebody else, or maybe all of us, to commit to getting the word out, you know, inviting people. And then we also have the value statement work to still do, the wordsmithing. We need to make sure we don't lose track of that, still needs to happen. And probably part of our next conversation has to be a little bit of follow-up to that as well. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm I think what I, one of the things that maybe again this is just me, but I think these meetings are hard to facilitate if you're not Hildy, and I'd be terrified. Yes. I would be terrified of trying to facilitate this meeting. And Hildy, you've done it for so long, and that we just take it for granted that you do it, and it comes to you so easily. I'd be very happy to facilitate a meeting in the future, but I don't think I could do that without the safety net of maybe having something like written down. So I think what I take away, one of the things I take away from the meeting today is that I'm happy to facilitate in the future, but I need something to help me do it. So that I don't think I could have done as good a job as Angie has done today, for example.
I think it's going to be actually easier next time because we can, it's pretty clear. We have the Catalytic framework steps to follow. Like today's is a little unclear how to plug in. At least that's what I found. So I think you can do it, Carl. It's what I'm saying.
The beauty of our having documented in the bylaws the questions that we're going to ask when we're making decisions. So the fact that, and I stuck in the chat the link directly to the bylaws PDF, that the catalytic thinking questions really give us, and the reason it's easy for me, Carl, is because I have so embodied catalytic thinking into, those are the questions I ask about everything. So, you know, the first question I ask is who's going to be impacted? And we go through the list of who's going to be impacted. The second question I ask is what do we want this conversation to make possible for them? It is just the same questions over and over. Why is it easy for me? Because I could wake up in the morning and I have the same question about what I'm going to have for dinner.
She loves it.
Okay.
So I will be affected.
So I am happy to take notes at the next meeting. I'll offer to chair at the meeting after.
I don't mind stepping in to facilitate the next session. And, you know, I actually do think that, you know, that question that came up several years ago around, you know, what is it that we're recruiting people to? I think focusing next time on what is the experience of being on this board? What do we envision that to actually look like? So that I think we're in a better position to frame that, based on both what we want to see as well as what we've experienced, and then, you know, use the catalytic thinking to really ask, well, whom should be a part of that conversation, those kinds of conversations, and what do they need to be able to be invited to want to participate, to really look at those kinds of questions? Because I think that's where we can very quickly get to the tactics of how we invite people without really thinking about, you know, like I'm sitting here thinking about when I talk to someone, what are all the questions they would be asking about just even coming to one of our board meetings that I would need to be able to answer, and that I would want to provide answers to that really are authentic, so that we understand, I mean, really what we're inviting people into, making that clear. So I think having that conversation, I think we're in a much better position now than we were several years ago to have that conversation, and to use it from the lenses that we want to apply.
Yeah, like we now have some, or we will have a clear statement around racial equity and justice and those kinds of areas that we hadn't really addressed before. So that should help with these conversations too. Thank you, Justin, for being willing to do that. Is there any other things that we need to think about getting into place in order to have a good next meeting?
We do need to definitely have an interim session on wordsmithing the values.
Yeah.
And we can do a calendar thing to figure out when that can work.
Who wants to be involved in that? Or should we just send it to everybody? I could send a doodle poll and then whoever wants to fill it out. Any blog, we usually do a blog post that announces what's going on.
I'm happy to continue to do the blog post just because it's easy. It doesn't take me that long. I'm happy to do the blog post announcing the meeting, and Dimitri can embed this into it, and et cetera, et cetera.
And Carl has maybe some notes that we can use there.
They're not very good this time, I'm afraid.
Don't worry. I mean, I could set aside some time to re-listen and kind of record some of this, but it's not, a lot of what we talked about today was just trying to figure out what to do next, so I'm not sure we need to convey all the details of that, but yeah.
Could I make a reflection on the blog and like what we might write up? Someone said to me a few months ago that with your trustee board meetings is that if everyone goes well, I'm not doing it right. And that actually, you know, some of them are a bit awkward, or they might be difficult, or like you fall out a little bit. That's right. That's how it should be. And I guess, I mean, it's been a bit of an odd fish, this meeting, for me. I'm not sure it's quite worked, but that's okay actually, because just thinking about our values and like Hilde, what you're saying about like we're refitting the jumbo whilst it's in mid-flight. If every meeting was brilliant and worked brilliantly, that would be wrong.
But you know, it's so funny because when people know that our meetings are open, that we invite people to be part of it, that they're all live streamed and stuff, they really believe that this is a performance, that this is a teaching moment, that we are doing, here's how you should do it. And what I tell them is, no, you're going to watch us mess up. You're going to watch us go, I don't know what the hell we're talking about. That this is just real people doing real work. We just happen to be doing it out in the open. There's, you know, some of the meetings we have, Carl, I leave and it takes me 2 hours to be able to think a cogent thought. And I'm like, you're lucky because it's the end of your day and you can have a beer. And I'm looking at it and it's going, is it too early now?
Yeah. So Justin needs to leave it a little bit. Vu, if you prefer to use whentomeet.com, I'd be happy for you to do that. I have my whole system in Doodle, and I pay like to get Doodle to tell me what to do next. So, but if you would prefer to use that, I'd be happy to. I just don't even know how to use it, and so it would take me a little bit of time to.
It's actually much more intuitive than Doodle. It just gives a graph and everyone just highlights the blocks of time that they're free. Yeah. Instead of you creating each individual block for everyone to choose.
So if you get the Doodle like app, it fills it in for you. Did you know about that at all? But
it does. It just
finds if you integrate your calendar with Doodle, it knows when you're free and just clicks a thing and then you just
No. Let's just stick with that system then.
But if you don't use Doodle like that, then it is more cumbersome. So.
No. I think it's mainly cumbersome to create the Doodle.
Oh yeah, no, that's no problem for me.
Because I remember having to fill out everything because I didn't. I know. Sorry, everyone. Yeah. This is like my only useless contribution to this conversation today.
Well, I think it's important though that we all agree on like systems to use that will help us participate. So I don't think it's, I mean, I think it's important like to talk about these kinds of details, right? Because we want everybody to be able to feel comfortable to participate. So I will do Doodle, but if you really hate Doodle in the future, we can talk further about a different different way to do things to figure out our meeting times otherwise. But I want to wrap up. Sorry.
Angie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but one of the things that eventually, in terms of the work that I'm doing to instill as much infrastructure as possible into creating the future, because the infrastructure to date has been Dimitri and me and a ragtag team of people who care, that supporting the board we're actually looking at a position for that. That the work this board does, I laugh at the fact that so many organizations, the boards are so irrelevant, that old Wall Street Journal poll that asked corporate boards, if your board was abducted by aliens, would anybody notice? that you know, so much of what boards do is so irrelevant that if you said, do you need staff to support you, then, you know, for what? But what the work this board does is so important and really requires a huge degree of support. And so having a person who can do the calendaring, do the inviting, do the summaries, do the, you know, whether it's a person or a staff or whatever, but I think a big piece of the infrastructure that we are looking to institute is that this board needs support. And that's awesome. That means we're doing stuff that is important enough to the organization that it really needs, deserves support, which is, in my mind, just wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, Justin, I know you have to leave. Do you have any thoughts you want to leave us with before you depart?
I don't know. I feel like I've expressed myself a lot today. I mean, I think it's good that we're talking about this and pushing ourselves on it. But I don't know that I have anything particularly additional and reflective.
Anything standing out to you?
Not really, actually. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean there isn't one particular thing that catches my attention more than others.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to share their thoughts on anything standing out to them? See you later, Justin. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. I'll ramble on for a bit. My apologies, everyone. It seemed like I was not here, but I was listening. And I don't know, there's just so much going on right now. I do feel like there is this like existential sort of reckoning in our entire sector with everything going on. And it's probably the same thing that Creating the Future is going through right now. What is our role in this sort of new environment when democracy is crumbling and things? And I'm trying to figure out different things, and I don't know, I yell a lot at people about doing things the same way and et cetera. But then I find myself getting frustrated when we do something different. I'm like, how are we not doing it the same way? Why don't we have some objectives here? So I think a lot of this is just like me trying to reflect, because we are trying to do something that, again, just not, just to kind of remember Justin's point about not calling it different. We're trying to do things that are not the norm that, or the default model. Mm-hmm. So it is a little messy and we have to be okay with that. And I think maybe it was Carl or Dimitri or others who said, or maybe Angie, I don't know, that like there's just a lot going on right now. By the time we have our next full meeting, we will either have another president or we are just going to be extremely depressed and going to be, and I think that's going to affect. So I don't know. I just want to acknowledge that I am in this frame of mind right now where everything is messy and up in the air. And I can't really think linearly at this moment at all, but I do absorb stuff and hopefully it'll be ruminated on and I don't know, might be helpful later on.
Thank you. Anyone else? Dimitri?
What I'm reflecting on is sort of playing off of what you just said, Vu, and what Justin was talking about in terms of atypical and the times that we're in. What I'm really wondering is the influence of the time on what we're doing and the effectiveness of it. And I'm thinking of it in a very positive light, that, you know, because things are chaotic, there's an opportunity to really highlight an atypical approach to things. And you know, it goes to the Sisyphus article that, that you know, Hilde wrote a while back, and what we're trying to accomplish. So yeah, what I'm taking away from this is a really positive, optimistic viewpoint that yes, it is very, very messy, but it is very, very messy because it's a very messy world right now. And that we are looking at creating reason and logic out of that in a way that changes what is typical. So that's kind of what I'm taking away from this session today, is that there is we have an opportunity here to do some really amazing stuff. We've always had that opportunity, but it's also being influenced by what's happening outside. And that's, you know, everything from the Black Lives Matter movement to what's happening in our US political structure to whatever. So I want to leave this session with that thought, because that's really what I have been ruminating over for the last couple hours.
Thank you.
So to Vu and Dimitri, your point about things being messy, my slightly more working class expression is that things are a bit shitty, actually, rather than messy. And I say that because someone said to me the other day, if you're leading any sort of like nonprofit or public organization at the minute, I mean, you're doing well. Give everyone like a break at the minute and share some kindness and some love, because it's really hard. And whatever you do, someone criticizes you. It's difficult to know what to do. I don't think we can leave these meetings at the minute and have some perfect roadmap about what we're going to do for the next 6 months or what everyone should do. So maybe that comes back to the point about values. So you've got to have some North Star all the time, haven't you? So the fact that we've spent some time in the last two meetings talking about values means that even though we don't know what's coming after your election and so on, we've got a set of values to know that will help us how to deal with it, whatever comes.
Yes, that.
I just scribbled down, Carl, the importance of values in an uncertain world. I mean, oh boy, you just nailed it.
Yeah, what are your reflections, Hilde?
I always have problems with the word messy. And the reason I have problems with the word messy is because it makes us feel messy. And the reality is that we are, that evolution could be seen as messy, that an ecosystem could be seen as messy, but that what we're actually doing is moving from to, we're doing the even over thing, Carl, and part of what feels messy, and you articulated this so perfectly, Vu, I have told a million times since our meeting, whenever the hell it was, the story that you told, Vu, of the kids who were told to draw fish. And we were talking about, you know, when we say bored, we picture a thing. And that's the disconnect. That's why it feels messy in our heads. I mean, aside from the fact that the world is a mess. We're operating inside a world that is a mess, that is completely conflicted, because I think truly our world is in evolution. I think that we are in that point where we're moving from to, the systems that are so embedded, that are no longer tenable, that aren't working, that are falling apart, crumbling, and people are rebelling against, we don't have the thing that we're going to yet. And we're in it's like 10, 20 years in a birth canal. We're just trying to figure out where we're going and we're stuck in there. And so, yeah, it feels messy. We know what we're leaving. We know we don't like it. We don't know what we're going to. That's uncertainty. Our brains don't do well with uncertainty. And so there's just this, that's the reality of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I don't do well with the word messy. I do really well with the word we're evolving, that takes work, that is making our brains do things that our brains don't normally do. Our brains like predictability. It likes it, you know, oh, my chair is where I left it yesterday, not what happened to my desk. Those sorts, and nothing is where it was. Nothing is where it was. And the minute we wake up the next morning, the thing we thought was where it was, even that's not where it was. So that is a big piece of what's happening, is we're creating, and it's the building the plane while we're flying it. That's not comfortable. That because you're flying in the air and you're going, oh shit, we could use a wing back there as you're diving down. The other thing that, and I'm playing with the word atypical and normal and all of those, our purpose is to explore what's effective. That's our purpose. And so we're just doing our job. And I think we're doing it admirably. To explore what works, to explore what's effective. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. We're just seeking the thing that will lead to the most change in the world. And we're playing with it. What does it look like when we're leading for that, when we're walking through that, when we're seeing everything through that lens? So I want to sort of hold the space for this very precious thing that we are holding the space. All of us are holding the space for a million things in our lives, for our families, for ourselves, for our sanity, for our communities, for our organizations. And that is a shitload to hold. And we're all doing it with as much grace as we can muster. And I just need to say how honored I am to be in the room with every one of you. And Justin, and I wish Linda were here too. I'm just really, really, really grateful.
Thank you, Hildy. I feel the same, and I really appreciate all you've done to help get us to have these discussions and be here together to have these discussions. And I guess my main takeaway as we approach the hour is this work is hard, but I think important, like, and necessary work. So we should be okay with, you know, acknowledging that it's hard work, but it's about time that we do the hard work, right? So if we haven't already. Well, I guess we are done with our meeting for today. I really appreciate everyone. And I guess we'll see you in November. And who knows what the world will be like.
If we all show up drunk, you'll know.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Angie, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll see you later.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.